The demonized. The devil cannot stand to hear the name of Jesus. So during prayer, one can hear screams coming from the crowd. This is in a revival setting, conference setting. Immediately, dozens of stretcher bearers run to different people that are shaking and screaming out of control. The brothers that work as stretcher bearers have authority to rebuke Satan and to tell them to stop so they can transport the people to the place where counselors will pray for their spiritual deliverance. Many times by looking into people's eyes, I realize who is in charge of their life, who is king of their hearts. The eye expresses a lot of what we believe. The look in the eye of an oppressed person is hard. They reflect a resistance to prayer. When I look into their eyes, I sense the intruder in their lives, usurping, resisting, hurting, wounding, and destroying what doesn't belong to him. But God has given us authority to set these people free from the devil. In my church, whenever somebody who was demonized started manifesting, we would all throw ourselves onto him, the pastor as well as the deacons. And this is what happened to me up in Novosibirsk in Siberia in the early 90s. At a conference, a woman began to manifest a demon and fell on the floor, and everybody in the church ran over. Everybody, the pastor as well as the deacons, rebuked the devil, all shouting at the same time. Now think, what would happen to you at work if the president, the vice president, the general manager, and the production manager all said, no, do it this way, no, better this other way? You would surely look at them and say, excuse me, make up your minds, and then just one of you tell me what I am supposed to do. When you shout at me all together, I can't obey any of you. The devil is subject to authority. If I rebuke the devil and you do too, we neutralize our authority as we take it away from each other. If I say, devil, in the name of Jesus, go, and the person next to me tells them to do the same, he will not do it. God has shown me that this is one of the reasons why after days of shouting, often we still had no results. I shouted because I wanted to drive out the demon. The other person did the same. Without realizing it, we were taking authority from each other, away from each other. We were taking away authority from each other, and so the devil would not go. What do we have to do? First of all, we need to respect each other's authority. As one prays, the other backs him up. When the other one praying gets tired, he delegates the authority to the other and continues backing up that person in prayer. Then the devil, who is subject to authority, has to obey. But if we all give orders and shout together, he will not obey. Many times, demonized people left the meetings without having been completely delivered. The next day, they manifested the same demonic behaviors as they did before. Time after time, the same thing happens. Can the devil bind a church member? Many say this is not biblical, that it can't be. Luke 13:10-17. Jesus called the crippled woman daughter of Abraham. He recognized her as a daughter of God, someone who believed in God, yet she had a demon. How can this be? We also believe that a Christian full of the Holy Spirit, living according to God's will and not living in sin, can be demonized or have spiritual problems. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. 1 John 5:18. He who practices sin, be it a member or not of a Christian church, opens the door to the devil. Our leaders estimate that 30 to 40% of the people who receive ministry in our crusades are members of the church who have spiritual problems. When we pray for them, we don't ask the Lord why they are experiencing problems. We just simply minister to them. The Lord has called us to set people free so they can reestablish perfect communion with him. Then how does the devil enter into a life such as he did the life of the crippled woman in Luke 13? Well, we need to have information in order to close the doors to Satan and cast him out forever, never to come back to torment a life. In the majority of cases where a person has a spiritual problem caused by Satan, there's roots from the past that are still unbroken, fears, jealousies, hatreds, grudges, bitterness, sexual perversions, and other sins. These feelings are rooted in bondage that won't allow them to enjoy an abundant life. Joy has come into their lives and hearts, and the Lord will say he'll bless his people with peace. There are two ways to live our Christian lives, in victory or in defeat. The majority of situations, it depends on the person. People hide their weakness and problems and refuse to confess their sins to spiritual leaders who can provide help and break the devil's chains. They will never enjoy a lasting victory. Psalm 32:3 says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." Man is tripartite. He's composed of spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, in John 3:6, we read, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit." God's spirit generates a new spirit in the believer. Scripture also tells us God's spirit is like the wind. It blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit, John 3:8. His spirit is like the wind. It has free movement and animated power. So does everyone that is born of his spirit. God has given a new spirit to each of us, and it is the core of the individual's life. That spirit is what distinguishes man from all other living creatures. This spirit of man's life is the one that receives the things from God. It is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding, Job 32:8. Then there is his soul, which is comprised of his mind, psyche, and emotions, feelings, and the will. The soul who sins is the one who will die, Ezekiel 18:14. Then we have the body, which is comprised of the five senses, hearing, sight, taste, touch, and smell. But now who sins, the soul or the body? The body is the visible, but it is the soul that makes decisions through the will. The flesh reflects the desire of the souls. We can better understand this when we read 2 Samuel 11:2. "When the evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful." Many times I've heard people say, "Oh, well, the flesh sins," trying to minimize sin. David saw Bathsheba, but he didn't commit sin just because he looked at her. Or is it that we sin every time we see a beautiful woman or hear a sweet woman's voice? I believe the body sensors are like a sensor that transmits information to the soul. David had looked at Bathsheba and continued to walk around without stopping. Nothing would have happened. But David stopped, desired, lusted after, and sent someone to get her. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. 2 Samuel 11:14. Here's where David's feelings, his emotions, his will, all his soul came into action and he sinned. I believe that the senses cannot decide. The soul decides and consummates sin. The flesh carries out the desires of the soul. So I say, live by the soul, spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, or get what you want, so that you do not do what you want. Galatians 5:16 and 17. This strong opposition is because the Spirit wants to please God, and the soul and flesh are opposed to pleasing God. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Romans 8:7, yielded to the Holy Spirit. There are two big risks in every Christian's life. First is to believe that everything happens because of demonic activity. When we do this, we take our eyes off Jesus. The second risk is to believe that even if we are in sin or choosing to live our lives contrary to the will of God, that we are totally immune to Satan. The worst thing he could do to us is to oppress us. Consequently, we neglect our spiritual lives and we give him the possibility of ruling us. We believe that if we ignore him, this will keep him away. Don't be deceived. This is one of his most common tricks. But how can a Christian have spiritual problems? Some say that where the Holy Spirit is, the devil cannot be. That's true, but don't forget that man is comprised of body, soul, and spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in man's spirit. The Scripture says that the Spirit of God dwells within and becomes one with man. When the Spirit comes, he begins to govern all the different areas of our life, the emotions, feelings, and the will. God will take everything we give to him, but there are aspects of our lives that we take years to hand over to him. When a person is full of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is in charge of all areas of a person's life, then we can say that the person is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the fruits will prove it. If someone has yielded his or her emotion, feelings, and will to Christ, that person will exude Christ's love at every step. This is not always the case. since many times people will not give control of certain areas of their lives to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will not struggle to come into a person's spirit to rule. If an area is not in Jesus' hands, then whose hands it is it in? What a question. I believe Satan can govern areas of our soul if we allow him to. That is where the struggle begins, because the Holy Spirit will not overpower a person's free will. When he has our whole being in his hands, he can govern the emotions, the feelings, and the will. Therefore, if there are aspects of our lives that are not yielded to him, we have to hand them over. For example, let's consider our tempers. We have to tell God, Lord, look at my temper. I don't want to get angry. Holy Spirit, take my rage. I renounce it. I renounce anger in the name of Jesus. And we tell the Holy Spirit to rule that part of our lives so we can be filled with the power and love of God. And finally, we need to stand firm. It's a simple end of every speech. Now, all that has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Once we do this, the devil will have to flee and our houses will be filled with God. The devil walks around saying, where should I come in today? He goes by house where people are listening to rock music and watching steamy television programs and says, I'm coming in here. And he creates havoc there. Now, what happens if he goes by your house and hears Christian music to which you are singing, glory to God, hallelujah. He can't enter in. In another house, he hears people praying and seeking God. Then the devil says, this place is not for me, and continues walking. It's fill our lives and our homes with Jesus Christ. Do not give the devil a foothold. Ephesians 4:27. Now remember this, if a person has problems, it is because he or she has opened the door to the devil. We need to know what the problem is so we can promptly take action, break the bondage, tell the spirit to come out, close the door so the devil can never return to bring destruction. For this, we need to constantly use the knowledge God gives us through the scriptures and exercise authority.